So hello everyone, my name is Luke Bushman, and as Christian said, the word they use is candidating to work at this church. And if you don't know what candidating means, because I actually didn't really know what it means, I'll explain it in my understanding. So essentially, we as a group, everyone in this room, is trying to discern whether God wants me to come and serve at Hammond Bay. And you all belong to this congregation, you know what it needs, you know what you guys want, but you don't know me yet. So this morning, I'll paint a little picture of who I am, a little bit about myself, give you some scripture, so that you can make an informed decision as you discern, the future of Hammond Bay Church. So to share about myself today, I'll give some introductory comments, and then we'll examine a passage that speaks to my experience of becoming a mature follower of Christ. And then we'll look at a passage that speaks to my experience of feeling called into ministry. And I'll share several personal stories, throughout that. Is the slideshow working? Oh, it is. Nice. Nice. So like I said, I'm Luke Bushman, and I'm 14 years old. Sorry, I read my notes wrong. I look 14. I'm actually 21. I'm from Hepburn, Saskatchewan originally. I'm currently working towards a degree in biblical studies with a minor in youth work at Columbia Bible College on the mainland. I got engaged to Becca Potvin this year. She's right there. Yeah. And I know she's a member of the congregation, but I wasn't just trying to win a vote. I actually love her and all that. I enjoy reading, watching movies, hiking, and playing soccer. I love building relationships with people, and I'm really, really excited to be here today. So the first passage that we're going to look at today is one of my favorites, Romans 8, verse 38 to 39. And these verses make an immensely important point about the identity of those who believe in God. And to understand what these two verses mean, we have to look at what is discussed throughout Romans 8. So throughout Romans 8, Paul makes several points about identity. And Paul makes a very important point about identity and life in the Spirit in verses 14 to 17. And it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, and then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Sorry. Our identity in Christ is that we are children of God, co-heirs with Christ. Because of the Spirit of God, we are made children of God and are given the same status as Jesus, as children of God. And before preparing this sermon, I've heard the old, "you were adopted into God's family" thing about 1,000 times. But hearing Paul use this language of sonship or daughtership and co-heiring with Christ really struck me. God looks at us the way he looked at Christ. And this hit me hard. God calls me his son. God says, "Hey, Luke, you inherit eternal life just like Christ." And it's remarkable, in following the Spirit, we are identified extremely closely with Jesus, despite all of our mistakes and our sins. And this adoption is undeserved and truly amazing. And Paul makes another drastic point about identity in 8 verse 27 to 28, which says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." This passage shows us that God is on our side. The Spirit intercedes for us, or makes known what is on our hearts. Furthermore, things work together for believers in Christ, and we are given a calling and a purpose. This means that God hears our prayers and works for our good. Therefore, from these two brief passages, we see that our identity in Christ is that we are sons and daughters, and that we are co-heirs of eternal life with Christ. We are gifted a God that works for our good and gives us calling and purpose and who intercedes for us. These are all amazing things, but we often get it in our heads that we have to keep earning these things or that we can lose these things. But Paul makes his final and most important point about both what our identity in Christ is and how that identity can never be shaken in verses 38 and 39, which say, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present..." Oh, thank you. "Neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our identity comes from the fact that God loves us. And nothing in the whole world can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. I know personally, I think that a lot of things separate me from God's love. I think my loud mouth separates me from God's love. If I mess up while I'm speaking, which I probably will this morning, I think that that separates me from God's love. When I get anxious and freak out about something trivial, I often think that that gets in the way. When I skip reading my Bible or bomb an exam or I'm sharp with my fiance, whatever that may be for you, forget it. Think about those things that you think can separate you from God's love, because that's not true. Nothing can separate you from God's love. You are his child. He is on your side working for you, and nothing will ever change that. Oh, there you go. My coming to Christ was largely me realizing this truth. I was born into an amazing Christian family, and I became a Christian at the age of 5 when my brother, we were playing in the sandbox, he made fun of me for not having Christ in my heart. So to spite him, I accepted Jesus into my heart in that very sandbox. Really showed him. I grew up and I was a pretty weird kid, and I was very small and looked very young for my age all throughout school. And because of this, I often got picked on and made fun of. And kids weren't very kind to me. And as small of a thing as it was, it gave me a very big identity issue. I had a lot of low self-esteem because of it. Through all this, however, I had Jesus. I was very dedicated to reading my Bible every night before bed from a very young age, and I was the kid in Sunday school who had all of the right answers. Because of all of these different things, by the time I reached middle school, I had a lot of issues with my identity. I had low self-esteem because of school life, and I constantly tried to mask this by being rude to others and bragging about how I was the best soccer player and trying to be the best soccer player. That was where all my identity came from. And when it came to religion, I put an immense amount of pressure on myself to be perfect because I felt that I had to earn the love of God by getting all the answers right at youth and reading my Bible every day, which are not inherently bad things. Despite these insecurities, I judged those who did not pursue God in the same way that I did. God, however, came into my life in a unique and drastic way during these years. So first, God put people in my life during this time that exemplified that adoption and unconditional love we talked about in the first passage I read. While school was hard because people picked on me a lot, I had these youth leaders, and they were all in grade 12, and they just took me under their wing and let me be part of their gang. They took interest in me for no apparent reason and showed me a love and care that I had done nothing to deserve. I started working at camp and had staff members accept me for who I was at this time. And yet again, God worked in a small thing in that I ended up breaking my leg in half while I was playing soccer during this time. It was really gross. But this changed my whole life because I couldn't find my identity in playing soccer. I found it in a God who loved me. And because I couldn't move, God surrounded me with even more amazing people who just loved me. So God used people and circumstances to teach me that he loves me as his own son and that this love is undeserved and does not need to be earned. God also showed me that he was interceding for me at this time. I had a friend who moved away from my small Christian town, and he fell into a different lifestyle full of partying and drugs, and he almost left his faith behind. And our drifting away wasn't that we didn't get along, it was just we had different interests. Mine was reading my Bible, and his was smoking weed, so a little different. during this time, God told me at this point to pray more. So I wrote down a list of people to pray for, and for 3 months, I prayed for my friend. I randomly met with him again after months of praying, and he told me he had changed his life around and was following God again. God showed me in this that he hears our prayers and intercedes on our behalf, similar to our second passage. Through these and countless other little miracles, God came into my life during my middle school years and changed my whole life. God showed me that nothing could separate me from his love. Because I understood this after the love that was given to me by all those people during this time, I learned to not judge others and to not think that they were undeserving of God's love. I learned that nobody had to earn God's love. I stopped trying to earn the love of God by being good at soccer in Sunday school and actually just started living for him. So after seeing God step into my life and show me his great and undying love, I began to live for him. Started to love people, to spend my time building relationships and volunteering instead of just playing soccer and trying to prove myself better than others. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that passage. That's a little bit about how I became an active and devoted follower of Christ using the framework of Romans 8. For how I realized that God was calling me into a life of ministry, I'd like to discuss the theme of not worrying. Matthew 6, verse 28 to 34 has always been a favorite passage of mine. And it says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall I eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." It is easy to worry. In the preceding verses, Jesus explains that we are not to worry, because if God provides for things like birds and lilies, he can provide for us. If he can provide for the small, he can provide for the big. Obviously, there's a lot to worry about in our lives, and Jesus isn't dismissing the validity of those worries. Jesus calls us to seek first God's kingdom. That's the real point of this passage. Jesus calls us to look at the bigger picture. Our worries are not dumb to Jesus. They are valid, but they have to be compared to God's immense provision and his kingdom. If we view our worries through this understanding of God's kingdom and ability to provide, they're going to seem a whole lot smaller. There have been a lot of small things I've worried about when it comes to doing ministry, and God solving all these things that I have worried about has led me to pursue ministry full-time. I have a lot of stories, but I only have time to share three, one from each of the ministries I've previously been involved in. So first, working at Redbury Bible Camp. So as I previously said, I looked really young growing up, like really young, you'll see. I have a picture of me the day I started working at camp. I was in grade 10 at the time, with the director of our training program there. I hope you can see it. I'm the small one hugging his leg. I'm not 10 years old in this picture. I was in grade 10. And this worried me a lot when I went into working at camp. I had parents coming up to me on the first day all the time, asking me if I was one of the kids and trying to, you know, get me to be friends with their kid. And it was really awkward to say, "Actually, I'm in charge of keeping your kids safe all week." But God put all these worries to rest so quickly. I can tell you hundreds of stories I have of kids having their lives changed and coming to know Jesus while I worked at camp. And I can't explain it as anything other than God providing. There was nothing I could do. No kid would initially listen to that when I told them what to do or tried to tell them about God. I learned that I had to earn the respect by being a good person and really caring about those kids and loving them. And I learned so much through that, and God did amazing things during this time and spoke to me in incredible ways and repeatedly showed me that I did not need to worry. And I fell in love with camp ministry because of this, and I ended up working there for 6 years. Second, while I was working for Athletes in Action soccer camps. So after I worked at camp for several years, God called me to take a summer away from camp. And I was worried about this because I had all my friends at camp, I had all these kids that I had impacted, I had so many meaningful memories at camp, and I was very worried about leaving. So I told God no, but one day I was playing soccer by myself and God spoke to me. And it wasn't audible, but it was like someone was talking to me, and I've never had that before. God said, "It doesn't matter where you go, I'll be with you, so it will be good." So I took the job at Athletes in Action soccer camps, and it was truly an amazing experience getting to combine my love for soccer and my love for Jesus. And yeah, I got 3 weeks off from soccer camps and got to go to the three oldest weeks of Redberry Bible Camp to go and be with the kids that I impacted. I just couldn't believe God just provided that. Such a little thing, but God provides. Third, at Columbia Bible College. So my time at Columbia Bible College has been an intense and impactful experience. I ended up at CBC after the Bible college in the States that I wanted to go to fell through, and I chose CBC as a backup plan because the website looked kind of nice. and I was so worried about going. I thought I would show up, just do homework in my room, be sad all the time, get the degree I wanted, and then come to youth ministry. But God doesn't really let things go like that. God provided my worries yet again. I showed up, and my roommate ended up being my cousin from Saskatchewan, which shows you how Mennonite I am. While I was at CBC, God changed my life through so many things. People mentored me and cared for me. I got to become a resident leader at school because a friend pushed me to do it. I had a professor named Michael Zook. He mentored me and asked me to be his teacher assistant for one of his classes. And I got to do it, and I got to lead devotionals every week. And I even got to teach an hour-long college class, which is crazy. And I can't believe I was so worried about going to CBC because God gave me so many important people in my life and gave me a lot of really cool ministry opportunities. So in summary of what we've talked about today, God's love is inescapable. It is in our identity that God is working for us and giving us as his children undeserved love, and this will never change. We are not to worry about as believers, but stay focused on his kingdom and his righteousness. In the bigger picture, God can take care of it. Today, I still feel called to ministry, and I still have some worries. I'm young. Life is moving very fast with marriage, graduation, moving from Saskatchewan to BC permanently. And I often worry because of these things if I'm ready to do this. And God has provided for me so many times, I can't doubt him at this point. And even preparing this sermon, very nervous, very worried. And the second I walked into Hammond Bay this morning, just peace. And yet again, God providing. So that's a little bit about me, a little scripture food for you, and a description of why I feel called to ministry. So thank you so much for having me here. I'm just thankful for this experience and the way I've always been welcomed here, whether as Becca's fiance or as a pastoral candidate. So thanks so much for your time.